You are listening to the Uncommon Truth Podcast, produced by the Father's House Church in Oroville, California. I'm Luke, and we created this podcast because we want to explore Christianity the way that Jesus intended it to be. If you're interested in joining us on this journey, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, or for more resources, check out changeoroville.org.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Uncommon Truth Podcast. Vicky has arrived, and she's with us this week.
I have. We've come off of vacation. Yep. Last week. We went for almost 2.5 weeks. We went on a cruise, and we drove around the South. Did you ever talk about that?
Nope.
Okay. And it's good to be back. Good to be home.
Good to have you here with us.
It was fun. Yeah. It's fun to be here, and it's fun to be on a cruise. Except you just really do gain weight on a cruise. There's just no way around it.
Not
you
I.
You didn't.
I did
so
not.
So Steve did not. He actually lost a pound.
So he did the impossible?
He did. Honestly, I think he's probably one of a billion that has actually lost.
1% of 1%.
You lost 1 pound. Correct?
I lost close to a pound.
And yeah. I found his pound and raised him one. Right? He did good. I was really proud of him.
Yeah. What was your favorite place you stopped?
You know, from? I think Curacao was. Curacao and St. Martin. Curacao is very Dutch.
Okay.
You know, and we actually walked
And St. Martin is very Dutch.
And they both are. And St. Martin is French and Dutch. Okay. So there's a side of St. Martin that's Dutch. And there's not, it's really negotiable, the difference. But what was cool on St. Martin, the Dutch side, is we went to this beach, and these the runway, the airplane, the airport runways is just across the street. So you're standing on the beach, and literally the plane is probably, I'd say 20 feet in front.
You could throw a rock and hit it.
30 feet ahead. They go right over you. Right?
I thought about my Frisbee. I could probably hit it with my Frisbee.
In your Delta Dawn days, you could have probably.
Yeah.
So that was cool. And then we saw beautiful beaches.
They do go by fast.
And you know what we did too, really? This time we rented taxi cabs, and we went around the three islands. And so we saw St. Martin, Curacao, and Antigua.
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 So you didn't go to Aruba?
Aruba,
we did, but
Jamaica.
We didn't get in a tour.
Okay.
We walked around near the ship and went back on to eat.
We went to Aruba years ago, the only place they take you is, what's it called, the Bridge to Nowhere?
The Bridge to Nowhere.
So the Bridge to Nowhere then
collapsed in a storm.
So there's nothing to see.
They got nothing left if you're not going snorkeling or scuba diving.
So we walked around for a few minutes, and I bought a T-shirt, and we called it bye-bye, Aruba. Yeah. Well, if you're living in Aruba, it's a beautiful place.
The key on cruises, even in the Caribbean, is the cruise.
We love it.
The cruise ship is our key.
There you go.
When we go together, we're like 2.5 weeks, and we drove around the South. We went to New Orleans and Baton Rouge and up to Mississippi. We had a great time. We had no agenda, and then we ended up at Galveston, and we got on a ship about 4 days later. And Steve and I just do really well when we're just together on a ship. It was very fun.
That's good.
Yeah. We wear Jesus T-shirts everywhere.
Nice. You got wearing one today.
I am, but first Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
I told the kids today, what you believe in your heart, you confess on your T-shirts. So I had them each one stand up and say, "What does Jace believe?" And they said, "Oh, he likes Star Wars." You know, I said, "That's right. What you believe in your heart, you confess on your T-shirt. Mm-hmm. What's yours say?" Yeah, rain or shine, we're here.
Yep.
That's good. I like it. Yep. Okay, I'm good.
Mine says nothing.
And that says it all.
That explains everything.
A lot. Yep. Jeremiah, right? That explains a lot. What's yours say? America?
Reach.
Reach.
Yeah, says America. Yeah.
America.
He's a Canadian with America on his shirt.
Well, I think we should get going, eh?
Yeah, I could go on for days.
Vicky's not been on the podcast for a while, so she has a lot to say.
Yeah, a
lot
to say.
We are studying In His Likeness,
written
by Steve.
Yeah, what a
here.
Great book, honey. Great job.
If you want to get a copy, you can get it on Amazon. Search for In His Likeness by Steve Orsillo. Or you can,
In His Likeness,
yes.
Steve Orsillo?
Yes.
Is that what you said? Because I don't have my glasses on. I can't hear you.
And or. Purchase it at the Pod's House at one of our services. So
correct.
We'd love to meet you. So Steve is going to start by reading some of this chapter 12.
Chapter 12 is called Whose Gift Is It?
Whose gift is it, Steve?
Chapter 11 was What Gift Have We Been Given?
Oh, good.
And it was the Holy Spirit's the gift.
Okay.
And Whose Gift Is It? And is the next chapter. Okay. So people are really fond of saying, it's not me, it's the Lord. We like to think it doesn't matter who prays for you. God hears all prayers. But this hasn't been my experience, and I think if we're honest, this isn't actually how many of us operate. As this journey has continued in my life, I have been amazed to begin to understand whose gift it is. I was recently in Alaska and received a phone call from a man that I had previously healed. He was in the hospital and was a little upset. He could not get a hold of me right away and was very relieved when I called him. As I prayed for his condition, he was visited in his hotel room with a very hospital room with a very powerful manifestation of God's presence. I could hear it and feel it over the phone. God worked through me on a phone line. This man had been sick for days. Why did he wait to be healed? He had been healed at least 7 times previously of significant healings of cancer and blood disease, shrapnel moving in his heart, big stuff. Why did he wait? He needed me. He knew I had something. I believe I have a gift. He knew I had something. I believe I had a gift. More importantly, he believes I have a gift. Steve Orsillo healed him. Every other Christian who knew he was sick had prayed for him. Same prayer, same God. The only difference was me. In my short history, I have been exposed to healing evangelists, healing revivals, healing seminars. In all of these events, I can testify that those who go want to be prayed for by the big kahuna, the big name, the man or woman with the powerful reputation. People would travel across the country to see Amy Semple McPherson and have her pray for them. It was the same with Smith Wigglesworth, Mariah Edwards, and so many others. They had something. It does matter who prays for you. We all feel this way deep down, but when someone begins to say, Amy healed me, we freak out. If the person praying is irrelevant, then why did they have Paul pray over handkerchiefs? Why did Peter's shadow heal people? Because it does matter. It matters who you believe has the power of the Holy Spirit. It matters who you believe is anointed. People often say it does not take faith to be healed. Perhaps not, but the New Testament writers and the words of Jesus give faith the credit for almost every healing recorded in the Gospels or the Book of Acts. Though it may be possible to be healed without faith, the Bible says that without faith it's impossible to please God. I also don't know how you separate faith from love. That is what faith is. It's trusting God's love. If you believe God loves you and you trust in his love for you, then it becomes easy to believe he will do as you've asked. You say to the mountain, moves, and it moves.
Wow. So right away, I'm thinking that people are probably coming up with questions.
Yeah.
So when you said you healed him, and people are like, who does he think he is? So
the guy laying in the hospital bed was a Vietnam vet who'd come saying the Agent Orange was at this high, and then he'd have me pray for him. And for a really long time, I would let him testify because he'd go back to the doctor. His numbers would be completely turned around. They'd say he had this cancer. It must have been 5 different cancers. He'd go back to the doctor and get, come back with the paperwork, look at these numbers. They were this, now they're this. So he'd testify, and every time he'd say, Steve Orsillo healed me.
Did that bother you?
People in the crowd would shout, Steve Orsillo did not heal you.
Didn't it bother you too, though?
It bothered the crud out of me when he said, Steve Orsillo heals me. I was like, no, I want you to give the glory to Jesus.
Right.
But he wouldn't, man. He was a stubborn old cuss. He'd say, Steve Orsillo healed me. So I call him from Alaska. It's like, he said, people been in this room praying for me all day long. It's made I've been waiting for you. Call you. You never answer. I said, I'm in Alaska, man, and my phone doesn't even ring.
It's not America.
Yeah, it is America. Oh. Goofball. Oh, Lord. Anyway, so one day he says, I said, Bob, the shrapnel in his heart disappeared. He had 2 x-rays. One was an x-ray with the shrapnel. The next one was the shrapnel gone from his heart. They were saying it's moving. Now it's going to kill him. So I prayed for him. And then he says, I got to testify. Look at this x-ray. And I said, yeah, Bob, but every time you say Steve healed me. So I said, let me see if I can fit that in. Well, a shrapnel disappeared in a guy's heart, and I didn't fit it in. I finished the service. This concludes our service.
Why didn't you fit it in?
Because I didn't want him to say Steve Orsillo healed me.
Right. Yeah.
And the Lord really came, and I felt a heavy chastisement. Mm. And he said, this man gets healed every time there's a prayer, and you silenced him. And I said, Lord, he was going to give me the glory again. And he said, do you think I'm jealous of your glory? He goes, I'm not jealous of your glory, because you give me the glory. Mm-hmm. You don't say you healed me by your power. You heal me by my power that resides in you.
That's terrible.
So I began to learn. And I remember my first time trying to explain this to people. They thought I was a Martian from outer space or had a second head. They looked at me like I was as crazy as a loon.
That's right.
So I asked this. I remember I had a group from Tennessee in, and I asked them, and they were all together in a group. I think they came to a class or I was teaching. I said, would it bother you if I said Steve healed you? And they all, 100%. Oh, absolutely. What if I said Steve prophesied over you? Total silence. What if I said Steve taught you? No problem. Steve spoke in tongues. No problem. Steve interpreted the tongue for you. No problem.
Steve interpreted.
Why is it Steve healed me is the only one of the gifts that you object to? And they were like, I don't know. Everybody on my team and their team, they're all going, I don't know. That's a good point, you know. It's like, because you... What I have found is people that believe I can heal them get healed, and people that think we're all just going to ask this external God, this distant God, to come do something for us, the amount of healing is so much less. Some get healed, but way fewer than don't get healed. Mm-hmm. But those that believe Steve has something, and if Steve prays for me, I'll get healed. He knows how to use the gift of the Holy Spirit for healing, for teaching, for anointing, for edification, for all the gifts. He knows how to use it. And if he prays for me, I'll be healed. And so what's wrong with saying Steve healed you? If you'll say Steve taught me, Steve, you don't have to say, no, the Holy Spirit taught me.
Well, even like just to reiterate, people line up, and I think it's in the what you said in the book, people go to Benny Hinn. Or they go to you know, name your Bill Johnson, or they go to these people who they feel like have, like you said, has a reputation.
Have the anointing.
And it's no problem to do that. And it's like, you know, they would say, I'm going to Bill Johnson because he has
right.
something.
Right.
I believe that he can pray for me and get healed.
And what people have is the knowledge to use the anointing we all have.
Right.
We all have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we all have healing. And it's the power of healing lives inside
Correct.
Of us,
because
he is the power of healing.
Right.
It's who knows how to use it.
Mm.
And
really
and beautiful. I think that it's Jesus was so often told people, your faith healed you.
Wow.
So the real key is, how do you get them to have faith? And this man decided I was his everything, his go-to guy for prayer for healing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just, I mean, he bust through lines. He tried to get this doctor. I mean, he almost got in trouble trying to get away from a doctor in the VA to get to me because they told him he's going to die. So he said, no, I'm not. I'm going to go to Steve. Mm-hmm. And you know, my teaching to him was, it's God you got to give the glory, and it's him you got to serve, because I have no power except he lives in me, and you've learned how to believe that I have this power. It's my gift, and your gift is your gift. And that's where we start teaching everybody as individuals, but that's not right. It's you're comfortable using some other gift, and I'll bet you're the go-to guy on that one. Mm-hmm. But we all have all the gifts.
Yeah.
Because the gift isn't all the gifts. I said that wrong. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Spirit. Yeah.
And the operation of the gift is that all of those miracles,
yeah.
workers of miracles even.
Yeah.
And it's who knows how to operate that gift. Well, I heard this lady from Canada, Isabel, knows how to operate the prophetic gift. And I mean, I want her. She knows how to operate it. Sure, you can prophesy over me and I'll give it, you know, its due weight. But with her, I want to hear what she knows how to operate it.
It's good.
And
it's kind of like in the physical, Steve, isn't it? Like if you're going to a gym, you're going to exercise your muscles, and you're going to, who do you want to help move furniture? Is a guy with the big muscles.
Yeah.
So it's in the physical, or educationally, who do you want to operate on you? A doctor or a plumber?
Yeah, a doctor, and even amongst doctors.
Yeah.
The one, you're like, have you ever done an open heart surgery? I've done hundreds. How about you? No, but I thought this first one would be a good practice for me.
Right. And
yeah, you're not going to pick him.
No.
No, you're going to go with the hundreds guy.
But people are really upset because they're in Christianity, it's real clear about the faith. And you know, I mean, we all have the same Holy Spirit, and we all can procure different gifts is what you're saying.
Yeah.
You operate. So Isabella has really operated in the prophetic and the being in tune with the voice of God, and from the throne to her, and she we look at her and we hear her and we know she's got something special.
Yeah.
And we say Isabel gave us a word.
And for all the people on earth that value her, I might be a small handful that values her gift of teaching, how she operates in the gift of understanding and teaching the Bible.
Right.
She says, you know, you just want me there to do these activations. And I'm like, well, no, Isabel, that's not why I invited you. I invited you because the teaching you bring are some of the best I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want. I want you to teach the people what you see from the Bible. What did God reveal to you in the Bible as a teacher? And so, you know, nobody says that's her gift, except I say the Holy Spirit's her gift.
Yeah.
And she's learned how to learn from the Holy Spirit the truth to be able to share it, and she shares it. I mean, with her strong accent, you have no problem understanding. She could be speaking in tongues, and we probably all hear it in English because she knows how to activate the gift inside of her and uses it. And I think her greatest gift is teaching. But people don't pay to get her there and have her there for a week for the teaching. They want the prophetic word from God. I like them both, but I highly value the teaching.
That's good. As you're talking, I was just having this thought, like, as the gift is him, he is
gift giver.
You know, he is Holy Spirit. He lives in us. We are the ones that create like a hierarchy within the gifts and say like,
that's good.
Healing is this the higher gift,
correct.
Or this is or serving is a lower gift.
Yeah,
right?
That's good.
But if it's all him manifested through us, then
what are we doing?
Healing should come as easily as serving does, or whatever else. Like it, and they should be equally honored and equally sought. And we should be, you know, Jesus operated in them all with no like, he didn't have to power himself up to heal.
He didn't. He actually said, "Thank you, Father, for that you hear me."
Or sometimes he didn't even say anything. Like the lady with the issue of blood just snuck
she
up on him, and
him.
The power was in him, and
it
just. You know, so I think maybe I'm just challenged to change my thinking, not to see a hierarchy within the gifts, but see it as
that's really good.
It's him, and if he's in me, then those things should just.
If we can really get that, I think that combined with the revelations that the Lord spoke to Steve a few years ago, that you pray to an internal God, you pray to the Holy Spirit instead of begging an external God all the time. And I think in my prayer life, more often than not, it's to an external God. Help me, do this, do that, instead of just stopping and feeling the Holy Spirit who resides and make it home in me, to say, pray that way, Holy Spirit, you want to heal, you know, get in touch with that. It's really an exercise we've talked about in the show. Like you said, it's a revel, it's to get your mind around it, right? It would be different.
It's what Paul says, stir up the good gifts.
Yeah, stir up the good gifts.
That's what it is. You got to stop and pause.
Yeah.
And you got to get your head straight that the Holy Spirit's in me, and he's the gift.
Mm-hmm.
He's the healer. He's the prophesier. He's the worker of miracles. And you got to let him, and I submit my heart to you to heal and to save and deliver. I think that's, you know, what you're basically saying is that verse, stir up the good gifts.
Yeah, and in this, you know, in the semantics of this guy saying that Steve healed me and us having a really hard time with that, and to go back to the point Steve said, I think God is secure enough to allow his children to, if you will, take the limelight. Not that Steve was, but it's like that's what we worry about is that the pride, right?
Right.
That somehow someone say, Vicky healed me. And we're like, oh, no, don't say that. And this false humility, or maybe not false, but it's just we're like so worried.
Our heart has to be right. Steve was the one giving God the glory for him working through him.
Correct.
Now if Steve's heart would have been wrong, and so I'd say, oh, look at me. And
look at me.
Then that's the problem.
That's the problem.
Right. It is.
Yeah.
But I think, but conversely, I think God is with the right heart. I don't, you know.
No, he's not bothered.
When my daughter scored baskets, I wasn't like, oh, Steve. You know, I wasn't jealous for Steve because he used to play basketball 150 years ago. I mean, it's like you want your children to excel. Go past you and keep
be better than
growing.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to read this verse that you have in here, James 5:16. It's on page 68. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Accomplishing much in prayer then depends on my effectiveness and righteousness. According to James, it depends on me. What I wanted to get into a little bit with that is, you know, if we are the, I think we were talking last time, we become the ark, we become the one carrying Jesus into the world, right? There's an element of what kind of ark are we? If we want him to flow through us, then our lives have to be...
resemble that.
Right, prayers were right. The effective prayer of a righteous man. So we have to walk in
righteousness,
right?
You know, I think that I've witnessed quite a few outpourings of God in my life, and it's so common that the people at the center become unrighteous. Mm.
The power?
They fall because of the power overwhelming them. And it's like God saw this before it happened. Mm. And he gave them their power. He gave them access. He gave them their faith, accumulated the access, or they appropriated the access, whatever it is. And in spite of the fact of what they were going to do, they had access to their faith before they did it. And you see these so often, like it's so often there's consequences because, I mean, I think it's real clear the scriptures about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit when they said that he casts out demons by the spirit of Beelzebul, mm-hmm. and he warns them, this is really bad to call the work of God the devil.
Yeah.
I was reading a current famous person, mm-hmm. Just a wonderful teacher who quite often fights and combats everything everyone believes in, and most often he's on the opposite side of me on most of my beliefs. I think there's 100,000 that we agree on, but the ones that manage the outward appearance of the church, me and him disagree quite differently. We're just completely opposite. And I think this guy is so absolutely he just, the things that we agree on, he's dazzling. And yet he tends to turn everything over. We are agents and workers of the devil who disagree with him.
Oh, wow.
And I wince.
Wow.
Like, I really hope I'm not. I don't believe I am by any measure. Nor do I believe he is, because he doesn't agree with me. Mm-hmm. But it's really scary when Jesus says that about the Holy Spirit, to call him the work of the devil.
Yeah.
And I hope for him repentance and things. And I don't know. I just use that example as explanation of how important it is to not just jump to conclusions that everything you disagree with is the devil. Because it's there's no coming back from those, in my opinion. It's what Jesus' point was. But when you do have this knowledge of the Holy Spirit, and you do access power, mm-hmm. I got to tell you, the temptation to go heady on it and think I'm the only one, or to think I'm better than you because I accessed healing, or I accessed the baptism of the Holy Spirit, though the anointing follows me. The idea of me thinking more highly of myself, or to think that I'm a chosen witness of God for the whole world, that's when it suddenly starts getting, I start giving myself permission to be greedy or lusting, or even going so far as to falling with women. And just how many men have fallen in these last few decades publicly, outwardly in front of everybody, because they got too big for their britches is the word. And it just, you start giving yourself permission. I'm God's anointed. Anything goes. And it's like, and I can even call the work of the, I can call other people's work the work of the devil and be, not even worry about being wrong because of who I am. I'm so big. And so when people do that and people fall into those traps, the way we all operate is we throw the baby out with the bathwater, and we say the truth is not the truth, because the last person that tried that truth got carried away and blew it and went south. So therefore, we're not going that way ever again. It's like, that's how people get, they perish, because discipleship, for instance, was so abused in the late 20th century that now in the 21st century, nobody wants to practice discipleship the way it was done for 2,000 years. Because in the late 20th century, it was so many abuses and so many weird things came out of it. Well, they went wrong. They started thinking they had special knowing, special knowledge.
But maybe somebody there thinks you have special knowledge because you said Steve healed me. So what's the difference in what you're saying? Like, you know that he thinks he knows best because, you know, listen, so what would be the answer to that?
I don't say that their belief is of the devil.
Got it.
So they say mine's of the devil. And I'm not saying I have special knowing. I'm saying that this is revealed in Scripture and the story about who prophesied. Paul says, I wish you all would prophesy. He's saying they prophesy. Mm-hmm. They speak in tongues. I'm just quoting I'm just saying what's written here. I'm not giving any, special knowing to it. I'm exposing where we got caught up in wrong thinking, that we're offended that Steve healed me, but we're not offended that Steve prophesied over me. And it's like,
that's right.
Well, the same power that heals prophesies, and it's operating through the same person.
That's right.
But in one operation, it's Steve did it. In one operation, it's, oh my gosh, do not do that. Steve healed me thing.
So either we don't believe that... when we say Steve prophesied, either we don't really believe that God was talking.
Right.
Or when we heal, we don't believe. It has to go both ways,
both
right?
Both ways. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. If that's true, then the other one's true.
Yeah. So that's the difference. I mean, that's where this thing is different. And so when someone over 30,000 churches worldwide suddenly allows themselves to go with some of their impulses to be, just perverse.
Immoral.
Immorally perverse. And then this means pretty much they got too big for the britches. They started thinking that it was them. And what it is when I say I healed them, it's I learned how to function in the Holy Spirit.
The gift of the Holy Spirit.
To release the Holy Spirit on their healing. And it was me.
Because without you.
Everybody else tried it, but they haven't right. come to that place right. where they learned it. But if I let that go to my head, that God chose me for this. No, it isn't God chose me for that. It's we all are going forward one step at a time and learning this thing. He showed me things that he would show anybody.
And I think
when I say he showed me and he won't show you because he chose
that's adverse.
That's when I'm really in danger of having that fall with morality.
Uh-huh.
That my ministry, the devil, then has a grip on me and I fall into disarray and hurt many.
So what Luke said too is to reiterate would be really good at this moment to say about the gifts that, you know, you said that you put weight. How'd you say you put weight?
We see it as a hierarchy. One's greater than the other, right?
They're all kind of, you need to value them all.
Yeah, if it's him, correct? It's him.
Right? Like you put people ahead. You put people ahead of you because they have operated in prophecy or in healing as opposed to someone who serves.
What we're doing today is we're making the person with the biggest church.
Yeah.
That's who's the smartest, wisest, knows everything guy.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean you know anything other than crowd gathering, right?
That's good.
And
that's really good.
The pursuit of righteousness, the pursuit of character growth, becoming like him, that has to continue to be something that we're after no matter what power we see moving in our lives.
That's
right.
100% that should be pursuit of our life.
Should be the pursuit of our life.
And then you go back to the James scripture about the
effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Read it again.
The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much.
That you can't let that go. Yeah. You got it. That's really important, that a righteous man avails much.
Yeah, it's a righteous man. Yeah. It's a fervent prayer and it's effective prayer.
Yeah.
That means he's learned how to pray.
Right.
He's fervent in that prayer.
He's moral.
And he's stayed morally righteous. Yeah. Now, people will freak out over this, you know, this Steve, mm-hmm. Steve saying he has healing.
Yeah.
Or, and I keep saying Steve because just so I'm the one.
Say Luke healed me.
It could be anybody.
Vicky healed me.
But I want to remind you that Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none,
but such as I have,
but such as I have, I give thee."
Right.
There was no prayer to God to do something. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus Christ, yeah. I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And the vernacular there is, he jerked that guy to his feet.
Well, what about? I was just reading in Corinthians yesterday about Paul's admonishing the church about I'm Apollos.
I follow Apollos.
One of you says I follow Apollos. And he chastised them, saying that you kind of lost it. You lost the whole gig on that one. I think it's kind of like what we're talking about, that they were kind of being raised up on their own power. I don't know. Do you want to speak to that? Because to me, that's kind of similar to what we're talking about.
So Apollos was a guy that was in their town. He was there with them. He wasn't like Paul. Paul was an apostle from Jesus Christ. And so I believe what Paul was saying was, there's Paul and then there's Apollos, and both are from the Lord. And it's not either or in that case. It's the head and the same body. Mm-hmm. And you're saying, I'm going to follow the left arm, not the right arm. It's dumb.
Yeah.
They're both necessary.
Okay,
right?
Good.
That's good.
And Paul never relinquished the fact that he's the apostle, you know.
Yeah.
But the main thing is, even if you're going to get stuck on that I follow Apollos thing,
yeah.
Apollos is leading you to Jesus. Christ is all and in all.
That's the bottom line for us, too, is that is a person leading you to Jesus, or are they leading you to themselves, towards yourself?
Yeah.
And they should be teaching you how to be indwelt and then use the indwelling spirit to bless the world and build the kingdom.
That's good.
Yeah. That idea, you know, just to go back to it at the start of the chapter of, we all, you know, people want the pastor of the church to pray for them, or they
Correct.
Want the, you know, the named speaker to pray for them, or Evangelist. The person with this reputation. Mm-hmm. And we all do that, where we put faith in that person, whether it's their office or their reputation or whatever. And when our faith increases because we recognize something in them, we seem to be way more likely to
Correct.
Receive.
I think it's right to do that.
Right, exactly.
They learned how to use it.
That's what I mean. So it's like, therefore, if we were willing to put faith in the pastor, because if they pray for us, we believe something's going to happen, then why not be able to say, the pastor healed me? Why does it have to then become, you know, something weird happens in our brains.
It does,
in
absolutely.
That point. And I think just, you know,
we're afraid to actually verbalize it.
Right.
But you're right, because I want Luke to pray for me, because I know he's had a lot of success.
Yeah.
But we can say that, but then we can't verbalize
that. And I think that's, you know, faith, putting faith in what we see of God in a person, I think, is something that's worth honoring. And if mm-hmm. we can start to think that way, then, you know, maybe we'll see more of him moving in our lives, right? The people went to Jesus because they believed mm-hmm. that they were going to receive something, and then they did, and so on. You know, it's like,
that's really good.
I think this, for us, I think, as, you know, believers, like, do we believe that he lives in us, and that if we pray for somebody, they will be healed, or mm-hmm. if we, you know, or do we, that, it's such a weird head thing that I think straighten our thinking out so that we're not missing out on what God can do.
And I think I think because of what Steve was referring to before is just the amount of immoral unrighteousness in the body, people have actually probably made this even more because they don't want to follow anyone, they don't want to believe anyone, they don't want to trust anyone, because many men and women, but mostly men in leadership, have let us down morally. So it's like, I'm not going to say, you know, you prayed for me and you healed me, because they can't do that. So it really is. It's a real tricky, wicked, if you want it, you know, for a better word. It's just like, it's a mind game.
Yeah. Would you read that last paragraph for us, Steve?
One teaches, one prophesies, one works miracles, and one heals. Whose gift is it? Mine is mine. Yours is yours. Our faith depends on our trust in the belief that God has filled us to overflowing with this gift of the Holy Presence. Our effectiveness will depend on our trust in each other's faith. How can you say you believe in God who you can't see when you can't believe in the God who lives in your brother and sister who you can see?
So he's alive in each of us.
Absolutely.
And if we can start to recognize that, honor that, walk in that, we're going to see him.
And I see Jesus in you.
Yeah.
And I see Jesus in Steve.
Yep.
And I see Jesus in Jeremiah. And there's strengths that I have that you don't have because I've worked them out maybe a little more. You have strength that I don't have. Yeah. But it's like if you had a faith to heal, I would go to you. If I knew that, you know, you pray and it happens all the time, I'd be going to you. Yeah.
So thank you again for joining us.
Thank you.
We appreciate you being just following this podcast and listening to us each time we're here. You can pick up this book In His Likeness on Amazon or at the Father's House Church, In His Likeness by Steve Orsillo. And again, I just like to invite you to come and join us for this, our School of Transformation, our ministry school, or our in-person or online. You can visit the website, transformationschool.org, and learn all about that.
There's also one more thing there, which we will bring back. It's called Project 61, which is a short-term mission. If you want to come and join us for a week, get a hold of us too.
Yeah.
It's called Project 61. If you want to just say, these people are interesting, I'd like to see who they are.
See what it looks like.
We'd love to have you.
Yeah. Awesome. See
have
you next time.
Have a great
week. Thank you for listening to the Uncommon Truth Podcast today. I hope this episode encouraged you, inspired you, maybe even challenged you to keep seeking after everything Jesus has for you and the life he calls you to live. If you haven't already, please take a moment and subscribe to the Uncommon Truth Podcast. That way you'll get every episode each week when it's released. It would really help us if you could rate, review, and even share this podcast with anyone that you think would be encouraged by it. Help us spread the message to more people so that we can all live out this Christianity the way Jesus intended it to be. If you would like to get in touch with us, have any questions about the podcast, the topics, or even like us to pray for you, you can do so by emailing us at uncommontruthpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you again for listening, and I'll see you next time.